Weather in Washington, D.C. right now is 73 degrees and partly cloudy. In New York City, 69 degrees with fair skies. For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Africa Now. Today's show features Echoes of Festac 77 with Brother Abdullah Kalimat. Africa Now is next. Welcome to Shaw Mwiza Mtali. The music in the background is Not Yet Uhuru by Leta Mbulu, commemorating her birthday, which is August 23rd, and in the spirit of Black August. We also play that song in the spirit of today's theme, Echoes of Festac 77, with Brother Abdullah Kalimat. Leta Mbulu was at the Second World Black and African Festival of Arts and Culture, Festac 77, in 1977 in Lagos, which was significantly the largest Pan-African cultural event ever held in continental Africa. First, I just want to thank the listeners for supporting Don't Forget the Blues with Clarence the Bluesman Turner today during our summer pledge drive. Thank you for your support last week under difficult circumstances, as you noticed that WPFW is dealing with a number of technical challenges. This is due to a denial of service attack accomplished by flooding the targeted host or network with traffic until the target cannot respond or simply crashes, preventing access for legitimate users. That is why it is even more urgent for you to support WPFW. We're calling on you now to donate generously and to encourage others to donate generously to ensure that WPFW remains for another 47 years true to its mission. Call today at 1-800-222-9739 or visit wpfwfm.org or on our Cash App, which is the $WPFWFM, to reach our goal of $500 and beyond. Your continued support over the years has made it possible for us to cover and connect the issues in the entire African world and the rest of the globe. From Rassan Roland Kirk to Asante Sukur, WPFW has been your go-to for cultural and political education since 1977. Thus, the theme of the summer pledge drive is Aluta Continua WPFW, 47 years of cultural and political work. Your contributions have allowed us to uphold the mission of Liberatory Media set forth by our founders. Today, we invite you to support this space of Liberatory Media during our summer pledge drive by making your donation today at 1-800-222-9739. That's 1-800-222-9739. Or visit wpfwfm.org and go to the Donate Now button, scroll down to Africa Now. Or you can also support the station at Africa Now on our Cash App, which is the $WPFWFM. And write that is for Africa Now and include your email address. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time. In the spirit of our summer pledge drive's theme, Aluta Continua WPFW, 47 years of culture and political work, today the show presents Echoes of Festac 77 with Brother Abdul Al-Kalimat. Attended by more than 17,000 participants from over 50 countries from January 15 to February 12, 1977 in Lagos, the Second World Black and African Festival of Arts and Culture, or Festac 77, was significantly the largest Pan-African cultural event ever held in continental Africa. Africa Now features Dr. Abdullah Kalimat's presentation given at Festac 77 and recent reflections by Dr. Abdullah Kalamat on the Pan-African Culture Event. Dr. Abdullah Kalamat is one of the founders of Black Studies and Professor Emeritus at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Here is African Isles executive producer and co-host James Pope with the show.
The use of form, colloquium, and festivals to center Africana intellectual and creative cultural production flows rhythmically alongside the long tradition of Pan-African tendencies. This historical continuity and our duty to move within its legacy is a project that the International Colloquium at the International Black Theater Festival, that we, Africa Bold Now Project Collective, have the pleasure to coordinate, is the explicit dictum that guides its creation. Furthering our work in this Pan-African genealogy is intentional. With this, our 2024 offering examined the continued viability of cultural platforms through a critical exploration of these platforms. Our theme this year was titled Echoes of Festac 77. Attended by more than 17,000 participants from over 50 countries from January 15th to February 12th, 1977, the Second World Black and African Festival of Arts and Culture was significantly the largest Pan-African cultural event ever held on continental Africa. It also witnessed the largest number of people of African descent to travel from the Americas back to Africa. Some during the time considered it a, quote, symbolic reversal of the transatlantic chattel slave industry. Africans from the diaspora were returning home. Notwithstanding the legacy of the crisis thereafter, the echoes of this momentous world historical event provides a lens through which we can look backward and forward. The conveners of Festac 77 stated that the, quote, heart of the festival would be the colloquium. As a result, for 2 weeks, January 17th through 30th, more than 200 Black scholars from across the African world gathered each day to read papers, engage in debate, and prepare reports on the following themes. 1. Arts and pedagogy. 2. Languages and literature. 3. Philosophy and religion. 4. Historical awareness. And 5. Science and technology. A quote from the Secretary General of the International Festival Committee suggested that, quote, the colloquium must mark an important date in the history of Black and African culture. From a study of its theme, Black Civilization and Education, we should draw conclusions likely to help us right now in improving our system of education and making a new man, a new people, and a renewed society, worthy and proud of the civilization they have inherited and capable of enriching and transmitting it. In this colloquium, it is not a question of proving that we have a civilization, for it has already imposed itself in the world, and no serious-minded person today can deny the existence, the originality, and the priceless values of Black and African civilizations. What we propose to do is to make a survey of the richness of our heritage and to draw therefrom the necessary resources for the revival of our peoples, and why not, for the revival of mankind in general. The primary objectives of Festac 77 was to, quote, provide a forum for the focusing of attention on the enormous richness and diversity of African contributions to world culture and the opportunity for recounting the achievements of our ancestors. For the 2024 iteration of the International Colloquium, as we continue to think deeply about form and function and its relationship to critical consciousness formation and radical practice in the use of arts to map and proliferate Black African socio-political and cultural life, we had the pleasure of being in dialogue with Dr. Abdul Akalimat, who was at Festac 77. In fact, you will hear his presentation given at Festac 77 in this program. As part of a consortium of cultural workers, intellectuals, activist organizers, Dr. Abdullah Kalimat, along with Dr. Ronald Walters, Dr. Mulana Karenga, and a host of others took part in the colloquium. For our purposes, and it is hoped that this airing will promote for you an intention to explore the echoes of Festac 77 and other past and current festivals as a basis upon which to examine the legacies of these spaces, to map the various radical advancements or lack thereof, and to set the parameters of current and future Black art and artists and their objectives. Dr. Abdullah Kalima is one of the founders of Black Studies and Professor Emeritus at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. A lifelong scholar organizer with a PhD from the University of Chicago, he has lectured, taught, and directed academic programs across the U.S., the Caribbean, Africa, Europe, and China. His academic organizing trajectory stems from former chair of the Chicago chapter of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee in the 1960s to a prominent actor in the African Liberation Support Movement in the 1970s to being a co-founder of the Black Radical Congress in 1998. Dr. Abdullah Kalimat's work has spanned over 45 years, punctuated with the founding of various institutions such as, but not limited to, the People's College, Nashville and Chicago, and co-founder with Vincent Harding of the Institute of the Black World, to name a few. His academic work has opened new paths of inquiry in Black intellectual and cultural life while guiding many students on their journey through academia and beyond. What you will hear next is Dr. Abdullah Kalimat's presentation given at FESTAC 77, which is available on his website along with other important material, and then Professor Kalimat's meditations on FESTAC 77, setting the framework and intentions for our engagement a week ago. I will be remiss to not highlight that along with Dr. Kalimat, we were joined by artists and cultural scholars from Nova Scotia, Canada, where they explored the continuities in the histories of people of African descent in Nova Scotia, Canada. We had the pleasure to be in conversation with Walter Borden as he presented The Last Epistle of Tightrope Time, a powerful autobiographical play and the story of Walter Borden's life, his life's work, and his letter to the world. An artist and cultural worker, Mr. Borden is an internationally acclaimed and nationally honored African Indigenous actor and activist born in New Glasgow, Nova Scotia. His activism spans 6 decades while his professional acting career is in its 54th year. He has performed throughout Canada, Europe, and the United States. We look to bring you his thoughts and meditations in coming programs on Africa Worldwide Project. Stay tuned. During the International Colloquium at the International Black Theater Festival, held every 2 years in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, we spent 4 days expanding the scope and deepening our range of knowledge about historical and contemporary Black life through a lens that centered Africana cultural production, thinking through fundamental questions which included but not limited to, where have we been and where can we go? These were two of the primary questions that grounded us to think beyond the limits of now, focusing on creating an African future. As you prepare to engage this program, we share this meditation and hope that it will guide you as you share your time and energy with us. The universe of thought and ideas are the playground of Africana creativity. Black life lives with the fulcrum of the seen and unseen, constantly merging theory and practice, effortlessly creating, recreating through radical acts of remembering, moving in and out of the deep well of Africana ways of being and forms of knowing. This is the essence of Black cultural production, the production of life itself. Our show was produced today in solidarity with the Native, Indigenous, African, and Afro-descendant communities at Standing Rock, Venezuela, Corporation Jackson in Jackson, Mississippi, Brazil, the Avalon Village in Detroit, Colombia, Kenya, Palestine, South Africa, Ghana, Haiti, and other places who are fighting for the protection of our land for the benefit of all peoples. Listen intently. Think critically, act accordingly.
Yes, Mr. Chairperson, I have a paper here on Black studies in the USA, but the logic and substance of this conference requires that I read some brief remarks written only last night. This too represents what we mean by Black studies. Comrades, colleagues, and friends, I greet you on behalf of the Afro-American liberation struggle, a struggle which is merging with the workers' movement and all oppressed national minorities in the United States in a fighting united front against imperialism, a struggle whose aim is national liberation and socialist revolution, a struggle united with the countries, nations, and peoples of the world in their heroic fight for independence, liberation, and revolution. My first point concerns history. We fight over history because the ruling class has consciously distorted it to enslave our minds. We ask, what is the logic and substance of our historical process? Black people have struggled through three major stages of historical experience in the United States since the Atlantic slave trade. Blacks were held as chattel slaves in a system of production and social life that was an antiquated, barbaric anomaly inside a growing industrial capitalist system. It represented the backward state of the slave mode of production and the vicious exploitation of capitalism's profit greed. After the Civil War in the 1860s, the quality of life changed little, but there was a profound change in the relations of production. Black people were transformed into a quasi-feudal people, and this represented the initial possibility for the formation of an Afro-American nation. Outright fascist terror ruled, and production was characterized by nearly forced labor. World War I and World War II pulled blacks out of the rural southern farms into the industrial northern cities. Now over 90% of all black people in the United States are wage workers, a solid part of the working class in the United States. Briefly, this periodization of our historical development in the heart of one of the world's most dangerous imperialist forces is a major step in our historical consciousness, as it clearly points out our task as solid sector of the proletariat in the United States, our task as socialist revolution. While our cultural life has dialectically progressed in this same manner, we know that it is the political economy and the role of the state that controls and dominates our life that is in fact the most important consideration. Prior to the Civil War in the 1860s, it was possible for revolutionaries to have a strategy for a two-stage revolution. First, the destruction of the slave system, and second, the ultimate goal of the destruction of the capitalist system. But this did not happen. This is not what occurred. What did occur is the continuation of the bourgeois democratic revolution begun over 100 years previously, called the American Revolution. And the function of this was to further consolidate the rule of northern industrial capital over the entire country. Now, after decades of struggle, after the revolutionary upsurge of the 1960s, we face squarely and courageously the fight for socialism. As Afro-Americans, we are a people who have at least two historical tasks central to our role in this colloquium and festival. First, the rediscovery and reaffirmation of our ancestral past to celebrate our African origins and our continuing struggle for survival in the belly of the beast of U.S. imperialism. In this regard, we reach out to the masses of our African sisters and brothers. Secondly, and however, the most important task is to affirm our unity with all oppressed and suffering masses of the world, to merge our struggle with the proletariat in our own country and fight a revolutionary struggle. So the main question facing Afro-American people in the United States is the unity required for socialist revolution in the United States. Moreover, we feel that while this is a festival of art and culture, the main point of unity that can and must be reached is a fighting unity against imperialism. This is the lesson of the heroic struggle of PAIGC and the fallen great hero Amilcar Cabral. This is the lesson of Guinea, but also it's a lesson of Paul Robeson, of Claude McKay and Langston Hughes and many other men and women of culture that have emerged in the struggle, the long and heroic struggle of the Afro-American people. So I conclude these brief remarks by placing a challenge before this working group and before the entire conference, the entire colloquium, the entire festival. Can we place this struggle against imperialism at the heart of our final summary report, our message to the world, and define this struggle as the basis for creating a new world? And this, of course, means a new Africa. To quote an African leader, if you want a revolutionary culture, create the revolution, and the people will create the culture. Long live the unity of the peoples of the world. Unite against imperialism. Long live the African Revolution.
And again, that's Dr. Abdul Al Kalamat, and he was speaking there at the FESTAC 77. That was from January 15 to February 12, 1977. That's the Second World Black and African Festival of Arts and Culture, which was in Lagos, Nigeria in 1977. And I'm Wisam Tali, your host for Africa Now. And today we're looking at the echoes of FESTAC 77 with Brother Abdullah Kalamat, and we do this in the spirit of Black August, but also in the spirit of WPFW's continuous mission, the Luta Continua WPFW, 47 years of culture and political work, is the theme of the Summer Pledge Drive. And with me here is Katia Stitt, the program director here at WPFW.
Good afternoon, Muiza. It's so nice to be with you. And I'm actually not in the virtual studio. I'm in
the real studio today.
Which is wonderful. And it's great to hear this information on FESTAC. I would dare say that the Second World Black and African Festival of Arts and Culture, also known as FESTAC 77, was the most important, or certainly one of the most important, cultural events in the Black world in the 20th century. And I think it's interesting that it was 1977, because that's also the year that WPFW came into existence.
That's
I have no doubt that that was on the minds of WPFW's founders and organizers in terms of, and all these revolutionary African leaders, right? In terms of creating a space where the Black lumpen proletariat here in this country, and particularly in the city, who had no voice, could finally have an outlet where their voices could be heard. And so we stand on the shoulders of those who have come before, both those organizers of FESTAC, as well as the organizers and founders of WPFW, in the spirit of Black August, asking you to pledge your support to Africa Now, always enlightening us on all things having to do with the African continent and the diaspora. And we are thankful to James Pope and Muiza Muntali for such brilliance, really, on many things, but certainly on all things African. The number to call, 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. And we have only $250 to go in this hour. And we want to thank Anonymous out of Severn, Maryland. Thank you so much, Anonymous, for already supporting us. You can do as Anonymous has done and go to $WPFWFM. And again, the number, 800-222-9739.
Or they can also go on the website, which is wpfwfm.org. Go to the Donate Now button, scroll down to Africa Now to put your support for Africa Now and WPFW. And also the Cash App, which is the $WPFWFM. And as you said, this is actually it's interesting when we're talking about FESTAC and the connection with WPFW. It's almost to the day, because FESTAC was from January 12th to the, 15th to the 12th of 1977.
Right.
And PFW literally was formed about a week and a half
later.
Weeks later to the day. So I suspect it'll be interesting to see all the people who went. There's definitely some of the people who were the people who birthed WPFW were part of that mission as well, because this was a huge delegation from the United States that went, including people as famous as Stevie Wonder.
Yes, Sun Ra was there, the Sun Ra Orchestra.
Sun Ra was there.
There and held several
concerts.
Concerts, but yeah. rehearsals even.
Yeah, yeah.
With
yeah.
local artists who yeah. would drop
actually,
in.
Actually, the news of Festac is interesting because, as people know, Fela Kuti was there at the time, but he was not part of it. He actually boycotted Festac. And a lot of the musicians, artists went to see him directly at his shrine and collaborated with him. It would be great to hear those collaborations. But,
exactly. And if anyone can unearth them, Weezum will. That's the thing. We'll hear it on a future episode of Africa
Hopefully,
Now.
Yeah. And actually, Dr. Abdullah Kalamat has a lot of that documentation on his website. So
that's
his site. I have to get that site. I think it's alkalamat.org is where you can get more information on. Alkalamat. That's alkalamat.org and /Festac, and you can get more information on that. But
I'm sorry for interrupting. I was going to say that little capsule right there, that little gem that knowledge Mwiza just dropped on us. That's why you listen to WPFW. That's why you listen to Africa Now right there, to get the context behind, you know, we're not the only ones, of course, talking about Festac 77, but the context and the history that you bring, that you highlight, that Africa Now highlights, is what makes us so special and what makes Africa Now so special. The scholarship that you bring to everything that you all do every Wednesday afternoon makes Africa Now so very special. $250 to go. We can do this together, folks. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. And as Mwiza mentioned, we also have the Cash App, a new one, $ WPFWFM.
And we're going to go back to Dr. Abdullah Kalamat in Festac directly in 1977, but also most recently, a month ago, on the reflections of Festac.
It's called A Poem for Deep Thinkers, and it was written, I guess, for deep thinkers, intellectuals, etc. Sky people coming down out the clouds, land. Then walking into society, try to find out what's happening. What's happening, they'd be saying. Look at it, where they've been, dabbling in mist, appearing and disappearing. Now there's a real world breathing, inhaling, exhaling, concrete and sand. And they want to know what's happening. What's happening is life itself, onward and upward. The spirals of fire, conflict, clash of opposing forces. The dialogue of yes and no showed itself in stabbed children in the hallways of schools. Old men strangling bank guards, a hard Puerto Rican inmate's tears exchanging goodbyes in the prison doorway. Armies sweeping wave after wave to contest the ancient rule of the minority. What draws them down? Their blood entangled with humans, their memories, perhaps of the earth and what they thought it could be. But blinded by sun and their own images of things rather than things as they actually are, they wobble, they stumble sometimes. And people, they be cheering a lot because they think the sky people dancing. Yeah, yeah, get on it. People grinning and feeling good because the sky people dancing and the sky people stumbling till they get the sun out their eyes and integrate the in-head movie show with the material reality that exists with and without them. There are tragedies, though. A bunch of skies bought the loop-de-loop program from the elegant babble of the ancient minorities, which is where they loop-de-loop in the sky, right on, just loop-de-loop, loop-de-loop in fantastic, meaningless curlicues which delight the thin gallery owners who wave at them on their way to getting stabbed in the front seats of their silver Alfa Romeos by lumping they have gotten passionate with. And the loop-de-loops go on, sometimes spelling out complex primitive slogans and shooting symbolic smoke out their gills in honor of something dead. And then they'll make daring dives right down toward the earth and skag cocaine money, white out and crunch, iced into the statue graveyard where Ralph Ellison sits biting his banjo strings, retightening his instrument for the millionth time before playing the star-spangled banjo. Or else, loop-de-loop, loop-de-loop, up higher and higher and thinner, finer, refiner, sugar laddies in the last days of the locust, sucking their Greek lollipops. Such intellectuals as we is, baby, we need to deal in the real world and BBB in the real world. We need to use all the skills, all the spills and thrills that we conjure, that we construct, that we lay out and put together to create life as beautiful as we thought it could be, as we dreamed it could be, as we desired it to be, as we knew it could be, before we took off, before we split for the sky side, not to settle for endless, meaningless circles of celebration of this madness, this madness, not to settle for this madness, these yo-yos of the ancient minorities. It's all for real. Everything's for real. Be for real. That's the song of the sky tribe walking the earth, faint smiles to open roars of joy. Meet you on the battlefield, they say. They be humming, hop, then stride. Faint smile to roars of open joy. Hey, my man, what's happening? Meet you on the battlefield, they say. Meet you on the battlefield, they say. What I guess needs to be discussed here tonight is what side y'all gonna be on.
Greetings, everyone. Thank you for another year, bi-yearly festival, and welcome to the International Colloquium, which has been part of the festival for a number of years now, started by Dr. Sopé Olalurion, with the express purpose to explore, extend, and really have a critical engagement about African cultural production, intellectual life, how it extends beyond theater, how it extends through theater, cultural life itself, arts in all facets. We will be in this particular room for the next today. Today is the opening of the International Colloquium. Of course, most of you probably have already participated in the first part of the colloquium, which is the gala. I hope you enjoyed that particular part. It was the opening of the festival itself, but now we're getting down specifically to what is happening in Black theater across the world. I mean, the International Colloquium is that particular platform where we come and engage in in-depth exploration of that. What does it look like now? What did it look like before? But also, more importantly, what it looks like as we move to the future. This year, of course, our theme is called Echoes of Festac 77. And those who know anything about the cultural festival, particularly Festac in Nigeria in 1977, there was a lot of pomp and circumstance, as some people have said, but there is critical, but also it was very, very important because there's reverberations, particularly from that. And this year, we have the pleasure to have Brother Abdul Kalimat, Dr. Abdul Kalimat, who actually was at the festival, but also very, very engaged in long time organizing, not only on campuses, but in the community. There's a long history there. He's a professor emeritus from University of Illinois Champaign, a stalwart. If you have studied Black studies in any type of capacity, he is one of what is considered to be the founders, are the major contributors to Black studies across, obviously, universities. But again, coming from a particular tradition off campus and merging those particular things. Now, I do know that there's a bio and everything available this year. I actually took the time to actually map festivals and the use of colloquiums all the way back from in the 1900s, first starting with the Pan-African Congresses, and then, of course, leading all the way up until today, looking at the Negro artists, the Negro Writers and Artists Festival in 1956, 1959, looking at the first Arts Festival. So I have that document. So what I will probably do is if you would like that document personally, I'll have something where you can put your email and I can email it to you. I do think it is available on the app. Without further ado, I would like to bring Dr. Abdul Kalimat to the podium and deliver the opening keynote for the International Colloquium for the week and set the tone for what we're going to be doing. Again, Dr. Abdul Kalimat.
Thank you. I want to start this international theme of the colloquium by sharing with you the slogan of the moment in terms of social justice, peace in the world, Free Palestine. Thank you for that generous introduction, James, and let me try to earn that respect. We're here to think about echoes of Festag 77. As you heard, I was there and active before and after Festac, and here I am today to discuss all of that with you. The slide here shows my website on Festac 77, where you can find full documentation of the festival. It's at alkalimat.org under the link called Websites. Festac 77 is the largest, most representative Pan-African cultural gathering before it and since. The gathering of over 1,600 participants from 56 countries was a historic activity. It deserves an evaluation some 47 years later in 2024. In this talk, I'll discuss these five topics: Festac 77 itself, dialectics of Pan-African cultural festivals, about African-Americans, conditions today, art, and the challenges we face today. But first, a historic note. African Americans became part of the African diaspora mainly because of the triangular trade, as shown in this slide. Europe sent manufactured goods backed by guns to Africa and replaced African people captured into the transatlantic slave system into the so-called New World, the Caribbean, North and South America, as a labor force to produce and send to Europe raw materials, cotton to feed their textile mills, and to feed their fancy sugar and tobacco. Millions of people were displaced from Africa and relocated to the Americas. This was the basis on how the US capitalist system built its world-leading economic base with cotton, sugar, and tobacco. The slavery system in the US was driven by an ideological strategy to confuse and disorient Black people in the US, to estrange them from Africa and force them into historical amnesia and the cultural orientation of self-hate. But in more recent times, two history-changing events reversed this. The Black Power movement sprang into a mass force in 1966. This went beyond the integrationist impulse that Black success meant mimicking white people. Black people turned to themselves, also embracing their connections to origin, to Africa. The lead book in this process was Black Power by Carmichael and Hamilton. Then the African Liberation Movement took a major leap forward in anti-colonial wars of national liberation, such as in Guinea-Bissau, reflected in the work of their great theoretician, Amilcar Cabral, shown here. Now, these two tendencies, Black Power, anti-colonial wars of national liberation, converged in the Congress of African Peoples held in Atlanta in 1970, attended by 3,000 people. This gathered together the cultural and political activists from the African diaspora, who later joined the convening of Festac 77. Now, Festac 77 was hosted by Nigeria. The head of state then was Olusegun Obasanjo. Nigeria has the largest population of all African countries. It has the largest spread of descendants into the diaspora, and it has oil. It's important to keep this in mind, because Nigeria could afford to host Festac and build facilities for it because of its oil revenue. In fact, it built an entire Lagos suburb and called it Festac Town. However, there is an environmental crisis because of how oil production in Nigeria has neglected safety and the environment. To protect its oil profits, the Nigerian government executed the environmental activist Sero Wiwa in 1995. So why Festac in Nigeria? Well, it's a major force in African art. From the traditional sculpture of many types, such as Benin and Ife, to the literary production of great writers like Chinua Achebe and Wole Soyinka, and the musicians like Fela and Sunny Ade. The Orisha, or gods, of the Yoruba made their way into the diverse energy of the diaspora, including Cuba, Haiti, Brazil, and the US. So on the basis of cultural arts, Nigeria was an appropriate host for Festac 77. However, following Festac, there's been a crisis of global importance, just as important as Festac itself. The hundreds of documentary film reels about Festac that were taken, I mean, they filmed everything, but they've been allowed to disintegrate, having never been digitized for preservation. So the memory of Festac in its detail is in danger, even though Nigeria is fat with 10,000 millionaires and at least 5 billionaires. Festac Town was built to be middle-class housing. And it's now, let me just say, it's quite less than that. You can follow my train of thought here. But the memory of Festac 77 still shines through Africa and the African diaspora. Now, the US sent one of the largest delegations to Festac. We came and left in waves, since the Festac was a month long. All art forms were represented. African Americans had proclaimed their African ancestral identity, but brought with them the distinctive cultural production shaped by their unique improvisational creativity.
And again, that's Brother Abdul Al-Kalamat, as we present Echoes of Festac with Brother Abdul Al-Kalamat, Dr. Abdul Al-Kalamat. And that's the second, Festac is the second world Black and African festival of arts and culture, popularly known as Festac 77. That was in Lagos, Nigeria, 1977. And with me today, as we look at Festac 77, and also as we put in the context of Luta Continua WPFW, 47 years of culture and political work, is Katia Stitt, the program director here at WPFW, who also has a very close culture connection in many ways. I won't say everything beyond WPFW, both biologically and in the professional life.
Well, thank you, Mwiza. I appreciate that. We want to thank Felix out of Laurel, Maryland, for pledging his support. And Felix, we appreciate all of your support, as we do from our comrade in Severn, Maryland. Thank you so much. $200 still to go. Mwiza, well, let me give the number before I launch into that, because I know we don't have a lot of time. But the number to call, $200 to go, folks. About 19 minutes, less, 17 minutes to do it. We can do it together. 800-222-9739. This is a fascinating listen about Festac. If you're Mwiza and I both are musicologists. Mwiza is the more accomplished musicologist, by the way. Let me just say that, right? So, but we are just over the moon over this Festac conversation and just scratching the surface. So I know a lot of folks listening today will be going down the rabbit hole, as I like to call it, and finding out more. But, you know, Fela actually boycotted. But then you had Sunny Ade there. You had Mary Makeba, the Mighty Sparrow, Gilberto Gil. There were dance troupes like Le Ballet Africain and the Nigerian Nobel laureate Wole Soyinka. Just among, and we heard Baraka. We heard Amiri Baraka. There was, of course, Stevie Wonder. There was the Sun Ra Orchestra.
And at the beginning, we played the Letambulu.
Wait, Letambulu, right?
Also the South African musician.
Yes. I mean, it was really this pan-African gathering. And in many ways, I think it reflects the early days of WPFW. I love that synergy. I like to think about it like that. I'm sure the founders, Greg Millard, Denise Oliver, Lauren Kresslove, Sagidi Browder, and others, if they were not there, part of the delegation, they were very aware of FESTAC. And I think that it was their Pan-Africanist socialist grounding, for some communist grounding, that also brought to bear and brought to life WPFW. Just the things that were being talked about in Nigeria at that time were also being talked about on a local scale here in terms of WPFW. So we have a rich and storied heritage, and Africa Now is right in that flow. $200 to go. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. I have no doubt we will make it, but only with you, the listener, who decides to become a member. And I want to just take a moment to really reach out and talk directly to those who have been listening for a while to Africa Now. I'm sure there are many who've been just soaking up the knowledge, right, every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, soaking up the knowledge, but haven't yet crossed the burning sands, if you will, to become a supporter. Now is your time. This is your time. We want to have new members. We need to grow. We need to make sure the station is here for the next seven generations. Please make that call that makes the difference. 800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org. $200 to go. Mwiza?
Yeah, and join Felix. Felix is a longtime supporter of this show and many other shows on WPFW.
Yes.
Join him, and also Anonymous in Severn, Maryland, who also longtime supporters. At least I see that Severn Maryland a number of times.
I don't know, even today, this morning, we've seen it.
I don't know who it is, but thank you very much for your continuous support to WPFW. And it's because of you, throughout the 47 years of this station's existence, is the reason why we are on the air, is because there's always been the community. This is a community station, and it's done that. It lives that by mission, and it lives that also by the people who support it. The people in the community. Again, the Cash App is the $ WPFW. And as we said, we have only $200 to go. You can do a sustained membership of $100 and spread this payment out throughout the year. So maybe just two people, $100 each, or three people, four people. The more the merrier, of course. we need all the support you can get. And as you heard earlier, we've had technical cyber attacks. And it's nothing new in connection with Pacifica stations. We've always had these attacks on us. But because of your support, your steadfastness in making sure you stand by us, we're never silenced. So again, the number is 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. I think we'll play a little bit more of the reflections on FESTAC 77 with Dr. Abdul Kalamat.
Thank you for that call.
Uniquely, African Americans came with what they had, but more than most came with a desire to absorb new energy, new aesthetic flavors, and to build closer ties with the continental cultures. The base cultural foundation for FESTAC 77 was tradition. Each country delegation came in national dress, playing traditional instruments, and of course speaking their national languages. Forms of political leadership were performed, giving traditional African leaders respect. In contrast, however, the African revolutionary forces were not embraced as much by the inviting country, Nigeria. Complete African unity has always been an abstraction, but nevertheless, an ideal goal worth having. For example, in music, there was the celebration of such performers as in this slide, Miriam Makeba, South Africa, and Stevie Wonder from the US. Different but loved by all, embraced as part of the great diversity of music that unites the people of the world about Black music. What was perhaps the most important happening was not even part of the formal program. People were housed throughout FESTAC Town in national groups. But at night, cultural performers took to the streets and open spaces, and then began to wander around. Without the unifying tool of language, only the music and dance, people began to mingle and join each other. That was the real Pan-African celebration, unity through improvisation across all the ways of making music and performance art. I mean, we were in these, it was like apartment buildings. And you could hear all night long, off in the distance, the drums, the sound instruments. And then within that traditional sound, jazz improvisation. And people were dancing and singing. That was Festac. That was the meaning of the Pan-African cultural experience. But like whenever Black people gather, the unity was not without debate and the airing of differences. In addition to the performances and exhibits, there was a colloquium for discussion. Now, the colloquium had hundreds of papers on all forms of art and culture. But at the heart of these discussions, there was intense debate about the freedom struggle, how to end colonialism, how to end imperialist domination, how Black people in Africa and the African diaspora could get free. Here is a US panel that brought together three different approaches. Ron Walters on the left, longtime professor of political science at Howard University, was the civil rights type of activist. 7 years later, he became the campaign manager for the presidential run of Jesse Jackson. On the right is Maulana Karenga, was a leading cultural nationalist thinker. He wowed the audience with his ability to speak Zulu and present an anti-colonial argument based on culture and identity. And in the middle there, that's me. I spoke about a militant anti-imperialist perspective as an activist in Black studies. Our unity, however, was based on a common desire for freedom, but expressed in different views on how to get there. The US mix helped us understand what actually led to Festac, the historical precedents that led to Festac in the first place. Now, Festac continued a long history of such cultural gatherings on a global level. The global process begins with a form of cultural identity born in France called Negritude. In the 1930s, France was focused on producing an intellectual elite in their colonies, which in effect would be to turn people into Black French. Negritude was a reaction, an affirmation, a way of thinking about the unity of the shared experience of being Black in a white country. The first journal that brought these intellectuals.
And that's a little bit of the reflections from Dr. Abdullah Kalamat on the Festac 77. That's the Second World Black African, Second World Black and African Festival of Arts and Culture, as in 1977 in Lagos. And with me is Katia Stitt, the program director here at WPFW. And if you could give us more information about Festac and also
about
contact.
Festac. Well, I wish I were the expert on Festac. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall there. You know, I was born a little too late, Mwiza, to be there. But I will be doing my research and planning a show around it. Don't worry.
But Morning Brew.
Morning Brew, Beyond Borders. That's right.
Edition 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock every Wednesday.
And Mwiza's going to join me finally, as he's been promising.
Yes, we will one day.
We have one day. Yes. We have $100 to go, y'all. We're doing so well. And this is such a riveting conversation. And we hate to interrupt it. We want to thank Sister Nubia Kai. Nubia, you always have been there for WPFW. We thank you, sis, so much. And we have only $100 to go. We have 7 minutes to do it. I can't talk long because I know Mwiza's got to close out the show. But please go to the the phones. We heard the phone ring, so thank you for that call. We hope others will come in and do the same. 800-222-9739, 202-588-9739, or WPFWFM.org. $100 to go to Make the Goal for Africa Now. It's been such a superb show, and Mweza, thank you. I'm honored to have sat with you today.
Thank you very much. I want to thank James Popo, who actually led this show. James Popo is the co-host and executive producer of Africa Now. And also behind the scenes, we have Dr. Tasmin Siddiqui, Dr. Keisha Khan Perry, Dr. Josh Myers, and Kurt Erdison, and also our research fellow volunteers, Funangonda and Chanda Kozer. And also we have Mike Nisella and Khalil Chapman, our engineers here at WPFW. And after the show, we have headline news. And after that is Shawa Nana with Zain Al-Amin, looking at the issues in Northern Africa and the Middle East, particularly as pertained to Palestine and the people in Gaza and the plight of Palestinians. And after that is the longest women's collective show, Sophie's Parlor. And that's after that is Nikisha Taifa with Human Rights and Justice. And then there's Margaret Kimberly with Black Agenda Report. And at 7 o'clock is Gombit Lakai with Eugenia Childs, looking at issues in Haiti. I'm Wiz Mtali, your host. Up next is headline news. I was cut off from it for a moment there.
$100 to go. $100 to go.
Yeah, up next is headline news, and continue to support all the great programs here on WPFW. Have a great day, have a great week, and stay safe.
For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Spangert-Drowns with some brief news headlines. The Democratic National Convention in Chicago held its second round of speeches last night, headlined by Michelle and Barack Obama. The former president praised party nominee Kamala Harris and reprised his old campaign slogan of hope.
I am feeling hopeful because this convention has always been pretty good to kids with funny names who believe in a country where anything is possible.
Last night also featured a boisterous roll call of states as they ceremonially nominated Harris and her running mate Tim Walz. A number of celebrities made cameos or performances, including Lil Jon, Bruce Springsteen, and Spike Lee. Harris and Walz left the festivities for a portion of the evening to travel to nearby Milwaukee for a campaign rally.
We are so honored to be your nominees. This is a people-powered campaign, and together we will chart a new way forward.
Also featured last night were a series of disaffected Republicans who opposed Donald Trump, including his former press secretary, Stephanie Grisham.
I saw him when the cameras were off. Behind closed doors, Trump mocks his supporters. He calls them basement dwellers. On a hospital visit one time when people were dying in the ICU, he was mad that the cameras were not watching him. He has no empathy, no morals, and no fidelity to the truth.
Protests continued outside the DNC yesterday, and police arrested several people during a pro-Palestine march. Police wearing riot gear clashed with some protesters outside the Israeli consulate. At least 13 people were arrested during protests earlier yesterday, most of them related to what police called a brief breach of a security fence in the area of the convention. The convention continues tonight, headlined by Harris's running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who is still working to introduce himself to a national audience. More than 17,000 unionized AT&T workers walked off the job on Friday across the southeastern U.S. and are still on picket lines today, accusing the company of unfair labor practices. The Communications Workers of America Union said AT&T has failed to bargain in good faith by backing out of agreements and sending lower-level officials to the bargaining table. A union official said AT&T negotiators, quote, were unable to explain their own bargaining proposals and did not seem to have the actual bargaining authority required. The strike reaches across 9 states, from Florida to Kentucky. The union said it filed an unfair labor practice complaint to a federal agency. AT&T denies the accusation and says it is committed to reaching an agreement. Democratic New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez resigned yesterday, over a month after being convicted of bribery charges. A years-long investigation found that Menendez accepted bribes in the form of cash and gold bars in exchange for helping the governments of Qatar and Egypt. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy named his former chief of staff to fill the empty seat until November, when Andy Kim, a Democratic member of Congress, will be the party's candidate against a GOP challenger. In a letter to Governor Murphy, Menendez said he still plans to appeal his conviction, but said he did not, quote, want the Senate to be involved in a lengthy process that will detract from its important work, end quote. And disgraced former House Rep George Santos pleaded guilty on Monday to several counts in a sprawling federal case against him, blaming ambition for his telling of a litany of lies to voters and political donors. Santos, a Republican, admitted to stealing the identities of multiple people in